Do you want to set the stage for this remote viewing experiment?
Yeah, I have I have somebody who already wrote to me with a very good description, and that pleases me because I have remote viewings on my website, so I didn't choose something the favorite target that's appeared. So I have a brand new object, and I'm very happy that somebody wrote into me and described my object pretty well, because that tells me that it's a doable object.
Ah, okay. So, well, we'll do it. So tell us what we should do here.
Okay, what I would say is that I have an interesting object behind me on a chair. That's all I'm going to tell you. The describable object on a chair behind me.
Okay.
And now, to do this, you got a pencil and paper. You sit down and close your eyes and take a couple of deep breaths and quiet your mind. I would say I have a target that needs a description. Make a little sketch of the surprising image that comes into your awareness. Something will just pop into your awareness. You're not going to know what it is, because this is a surprising object. It's not a weird object. It's just not what you would come right to mind. Consequently, it's not an object sitting on my desk. So you want to describe the surprising image, shapes, and forms that come into your awareness, and just make a sketch of that.
Okay.
Just make a little drawing, and just draw whatever comes into your awareness. Don't try and make it something, because that's analysis. And analysis and memory and naming are the opposite of what you want to do. You just want to deal with the non-analytic images that come into your awareness. And if you just do that, the image is already in your awareness. If you just draw that, then you'll be able to draw my object, and I'll then tell you about it in a few minutes.
Lex is accumulating some of the thoughts on the remote viewing experiment. So we'll cut it off now, and
all right,
he can tabulate. And I guess at this point, Russell, I can tell you what I think I saw, okay?
All right.
I envisioned some kind of a structure or statue, and very quickly it looked to me like a little Buddha statue. I don't know why I thought that or think I saw it, but that's my take.
This thing does look like a structure or a statue. If you didn't make it into a... See, making it into a thing is always a problem.
Like I just did.
Right. So that, but we can't help it. It's not a problem. You just, if I said, yes, it does look like a structure or a statue, what else do you see?
Now it's changing a little bit. Now it looks like the Washington Monument to me.
Okay. Now, when I was scanning my emails, somebody said, I see a large, dark wooden object behind you. It looks like an hourglass.
Okay.
And that's also not bad. So you're on the right. So you and my fellow's name was Paisley.
Paisley, okay.
Michael Paisley, or J. Michael Paisley.
Mm-hmm.
Had a good description.
All right, and we're going to get some more in, so we'll just go through that next hour with you.
So this thing, he said it looked like a tall wooden structure, which is exactly correct. I could see what he saw that makes him think that it looked like an hourglass, but that's not what it is. So as I look at it, the base is convex like an hourglass. So this is a pretty big thing. So if he got a look, needless to say, a judge looking at this thing, saying, is this object a stapling machine, a pencil, a Swiss Army knife, or a pair of scissors, or what it is, have no problem of the dozen objects in my field of view, little objects on my desk.
Sure.
This object is, as you and he said, is a tall structure. Mr. Paisley had it correctly looking conical and made of wood. That's all correct. He made it into an hourglass, which it's not, and he missed something, which is the significance of the thing.
Okay.
So you and he both had the structural elements.
And to me, it looked like wood as well. I didn't say that, but it did look like it had been carved.
And it sort of, the thing on top of the pedestal, as you said, Washington Monument, there is indeed a wooden pedestal comes up out of this conical base, and there is something on top of it. It's not a Buddha, it's something else. So should I tell you what it is? Or you?
Yeah. No, you can tell us what it is.
Looking at a quite large globe of the world.
Interesting.
This is probably an 18-inch diameter globe right under the lamp in my study where I am.
All right, now this is what I did wrong. You tell me what I did wrong, because one of my impressions was that there was a globe behind you, one of these older-looking globes that had this very antique-looking look of the Earth.
That kind of
a map.
That's what I have.
But I changed my mind and went to the Buddha structure.
Did you write down the antique globe thing?
No, that was all in my head.
That's what an interviewer, that's very good, George. See, that's what an interviewer needs to do. The remote viewing for an inexperienced person is a two-person game. The interviewer doesn't know the answer, but he keeps saying, is that all you see? Have you told me everything?
Okay.
So you can't censor what you see, because these images come and go and frequently don't make any sense. But what I indeed have is probably a 3-foot-tall globe with the longitude rings holding it in place, and it's standing on top of a lathe-turned wooden base, and that is screwed into a sizable convex conical brass base. So this is a pretty big thing. This is perhaps 3.5 feet tall.
What a great thing to do at parties, Russell.
That's right.
I mean, it's fantastic. In the waning moments we have this hour before we take
congratulations
pause.
For seeing the globe.
Yeah, I changed. I shouldn't have changed my mind.
But that's all practice.